Join us now for Call to Worship, dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by Zion Chapel.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice.
From the Call to Worship broadcast archives.
Would you be free from the burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There's power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Listen as those words are sung. Reading from Paul's letter to the Colossians, the last chapter, chapter 4, verse 2. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I also am in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let's give thanks for this exhortation. Pray that we'll be able to do it through that power that is in the blood. We're in the book of Revelation. They overcame Satan by the power of the blood. Satan would stop us from prayer as well as other things. Our Father, we come to Thee through Christ Jesus, Thy Son, Thy eternal Son. Help us to know and understand who Thou art, the only true God, and to know Thy Son, Jesus Christ, whom to know is life eternal. He came to give life and to give it more abundantly, and we pray that we might have life for those that are still dead in sin, that the church might have it more abundantly, that it might be revived in repentance and godly sorrow, as the Corinthians were, that we might be revived in love, in truth, to promote it, to make it known, to live it. We pray, Father, for an awakening, as there has been in the past. We think of the Great Awakening that took place in our country in the 1700s, and we pray for such a blessing again, how we need it, not only our country, but others as well that have had the gospel in the past. And we beg, Father, that Thou would give all of us once again another opportunity to repent, to believe, to obey, and to make Thy word known soon to every creature, as Paul here wanted prayer, that Thou, Father, would open to him the door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, he being in bonds, but yet could write, could speak to those of Caesar's household. And we read that some of those greeted the others, coming to faith. And we pray, Father, that there might be again faith in every place, in the church, in the home, in government, in the schools, in the workplace. We pray that Thou would give us that blessing through Christ. We pray also for the temporal needs of those in sickness, injury, hunger, homeless, war-torn lands, the persecuted. We pray for all of them through Christ, and pray that Thou wilt make Thy name known, and that it may be hallowed, and Thy kingdom might come, and Thy will might be done on earth as it is in heaven, through Christ alone. Amen. As we look at this again, we have looked at it in prior weeks, how we need to not only continue in prayer, but I'm afraid in many places begin in prayer. These Colossians here were a church that was established. We don't know when, how long before this letter was sent to them. Some of the churches we do, at the church at Ephesus, we see when it had its beginning in the book of Acts, and the church at Philippi, but we don't know exactly when the church at Colossae had its beginning. They must have begun rightly, as we can see it so wonderfully in the first chapter, twice describing how they came from darkness to light in Christ, how they came from enmity to truth and love. And now Paul is writing to them in the way of sanctification in this third and fourth chapter, the way of obedience, as the third chapter begins. If you be then risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Seek those things which are above. Paul writes in Hebrews chapter 11 of Abraham and others, he said they had here no abiding city, but they looked for a city of whom God was the builder and maker. And if we seek for those things which are above, we not only look for that, but especially look to Christ, who sits on the right hand of God, making intercession for us, sitting there as God said to him, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. And all enemies will be subdued, some in grace, some in judgment, when they die or when Christ comes again. Every one of us will know that Christ is Lord, that he has been given a name which is above every name, at which now every knee should bow, and in the end every knee will bow. Here, when Paul says, praying also for us, that God would open to us a door of utterance, speak the mystery of Christ. It is a mystery. Many things are almost denied before they are realized. One of them was the mystery in Christ that the Gentiles would know the gospel. The Jews thought it was only for them. When Peter went to Cornelius, the Jews remonstrated with him after he came back, and then realized that God had also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life, gave Cornelius the message by which, as he said himself, was to be saved. Every person that comes into the world has to be saved, has to be born again, has to be made as a little child to be converted and enter the kingdom of God. All these things are a must. Sometimes we think in the church that it's different. Not really. All have been born in sin. All are dead in Adam together. And as Paul asked the question to the church at Rome, are we better than they? His answer is, in no wise. We have together become unprofitable. And if there ever was a day in history that the church has become unprofitable, at least in our nation and some of the other nations where the church has been living in the past, England, Europe, it is today. Paul is speaking here to a church that exists and that has wonderful things that he can describe. We read in the first chapter, the third verse, we give thanks to God the Father and of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you have heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit as it doth also in you, since the day you heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth. That was the situation there that Paul is now writing to. And as we read in that first verse of the third chapter, if they were risen with Christ, to seek those things which are above. And that is what Paul is continuing here when he says, continue in prayer, watch in the same with thanksgiving. Thank God for what he has given. Paul writes much the same thing when he writes to Timothy, to pray for kings and for those in authority, giving thanks and making supplication. And certainly we can do that today in our country and other countries as well that are more blessed than some countries. We can give thanks for the freedom that we have, the freedom to believe the gospel, the freedom to practice the gospel, the freedom to preach the gospel. The only hindrance I have is myself. We're free to preach it on the radio. We're free to preach it on the street. We're free to preach it to each other in every place, free to worship. How we need to redeem the time and use the time before these things change, before God punishes us or allows persecution to come. And that could come. And so we should not only continue in prayer, but we should be urgent in it. And as Paul said to the Ephesians, redeem the time, writing to the Hebrews as well. So much the more as you see the day approaching, exhort one another. And we need to do that. Paul is exhorting those that he is writing to, first of all at Colossae, but this word is for us as well, exhorting us, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. I think it would be very safe to say we need to increase in prayer. We need to do more as the early church did, described in the book of Acts. They were in one accord, in one place, in prayer and supplication. All of the church in the nation can't be in one place, but we can certainly be much more than we are in one accord. Stop being the church of men. Like Paul said to the Corinthians, one said he was of Paul, another of Apollos, another of Cephas. And we are today, as I've often mentioned, this man, that man, another man, naming the church after them. And many times vast differences between what those men of the past believed, and the churches more or less following in their doctrine. We need to come to oneness before we can truly pray rightly. Who's God going to listen to? If people are praying that God will give the Spirit so the people will listen to them, which group? Which ones? Some of the doctrines totally contradict others and are very wrong according to Scripture. I won't go into that in the present time, but certainly we need to take heed to it in the present time that Paul has warned Timothy, saying the day will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. The doctrines that were recognized as very wrong in the Great Awakening by Jonathan Edwards are very prevalent today in our city, in our nation. Some of the most well-known evangelists preach the lies that Jonathan Edwards had to preach against. People had to repent of it and come to know the grace of God in power, the grace of God in Christ alone, not in ourselves. And we need to pray for the message to be right. And then, as Paul said, God would open a door of utterance. Paul asked for this for those people, and we could say, though dead, yet speaketh to us. Like God said of some of those listed in the book of Hebrews, the cloud of witnesses. Paul asked for prayer, and he gives the reason why and for what. We must think of what to do, both to pray, realizing the great need to have the gospel preached to every creature. Christ commanded that long before Paul is writing this, before Christ went to heaven. He left that message to preach the gospel to every creature with the statement, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, with the warning, he that believeth not shall be damned. People who turn away, say, I don't have to believe, I won't believe, will be damned if they continue in that unrepentant state, unbelieving state. Paul says, continuing in prayer for that. Paul did himself preach as Christ commanded, even stating to King Agrippa about how Christ had called him, and then he could say, I have not been disobedient to the heavenly vision, but showed to them at Damascus and at Jerusalem throughout the coast of Judea and then to the Gentiles that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. Paul also stated that he was seeing none other things than what Moses and the prophets did say should come, that Christ should suffer and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead and should show light unto the people, unto the Jews first, and to the Gentiles. This is the message needed today throughout the world to every creature. Prayed for and preached as Paul did. Paul himself prayed for each one of these churches that he would write to. He would say he was praying for them. And now, toward the end of this epistle, he wants them to pray for him. We need to state it again, the message that needs to be preached. He said that a door of utterance would be opened to the mystery of Christ. In the first chapter, we read in the last verses, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given me for you, to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages, from generations, but now is made manifest to the saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery unto the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. There are some that think it was a different message from the earlier time, even from Peter to Paul, and that Paul alone knew this mystery of the gospel. But the mystery really is that before this, it was not preached among the Gentiles. That was a mystery to the Jews. And as I said before, they complained when Peter went to Cornelius. But the mystery is that it must now be preached to the whole world. And as Christ said the afternoon of his resurrection, that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And the message is Christ dying for our sins according to the scriptures, Christ rising again according to the scriptures, and here we have it, Paul writing to the Colossians, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, which is equally true and part of the whole truth. And then Paul continues, whom we preach, warning every man, teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. Yes, Paul wanted them to continue in prayer for that, when already he could say, which worketh in me mightily. Oh, that we could say that today, that God's word works in us mightily for ourselves first, how we need it. Christ gives the warning. If the blind lead the blind, they will both fall in the ditch. And I'm afraid we're blind to so much today that doesn't really bother us like it should. Paul could say of his own people, the Jews, I have continual sorrow and heaviness for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh. And as well, he had the burden of the church, as he wrote to the Corinthians. Paul was weighed down. He also said to the Corinthians, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Do we have those two things like Paul did? Knowing the terror of the Lord, and then knowing it, persuade men? I'm afraid we're too lukewarm, and that doesn't have a good place in the mind of Christ. He said, I would that you were hot or cold to the church at Laodicea. He said, because you are lukewarm, I will spew you out of my mouth. We pray for a revival. We pray for awakening. But we may be in danger of being spewed out. We may well be in danger of judgment. We certainly aren't troubled as we should be over the 2,000 to 3,000 babies killed every day. Yes, you say you said that before, but are you listening? Are you thinking? Are you weeping? How many people will vote for the party that wants to have more and more of that? I just read recently of one of the parties in our land. It said they are called the most pro-abortion in history. They want to call abortion core to the woman's and men's and young people's health and well-being. Course being C-O-R-E. Is that to their health and well-being? Not at all. I've talked to people who felt the guilt terribly, and it's a hard heart indeed that doesn't feel guilt, either whether it's the mother or father. And many times I'm afraid it's the father. It's a boyfriend that may urge the girl to have an abortion. As I'm speaking today, probably 2,000 were killed already today. Today. When there's a dozen killed in school, which is terrible, awful, it's all over the news. It's in the papers. We got to do something about it. But when 2,000 are killed, it's silence. The news media doesn't mention it. And if they do, they want to promote the party that wants more of that and openness to it, to continue in it. How blind we are. And again, the warning. If the blind lead the blind, they will both fall into the ditch. That's mainly true for the ministry and those that hear the pastors or the teachers, the professors teach and speak. But it's also true in the rest of the world, that part of the world that's blind. And the news media is a great means of shaping people's minds, their opinions. And they are very much for abortion and for the party that promotes abortion, for the murderers. We need to pray that we will have a message of repentance. When Jeremiah was speaking, and Ezekiel was speaking as well to the captives, and both of them were speaking before Jerusalem fell. There were many years in Jeremiah's life, almost 40. Ezekiel was there with some of the earlier captives, and long before Jerusalem fell. And it's not till the middle part of Ezekiel's ministry that the news came to him that Jerusalem fell. We are much in the same time, same way as Jerusalem, Judah was at that time. And then God said, of them, he could not pardon their sin because of the innocent blood that flowed. Pray and hope we'll have a time again in our nation like this time here of Colossae, that we can say to each other, that we can say to the whole nation, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. How many would listen if they could each hear it? I'm afraid we have not enough of the message, and certainly not enough hearers that will continue in prayer, or that are praying in the present time, or will begin to pray. I've talked to people talking about prayer, and they would just say, oh, you can pray your place and I'll pray my place, not wanting to pray together, not wanting to pray sometimes over the things that need to be prayed for, not only the terrible murder of the unborn, but the awfulness of the broken home. We mentioned it last week, and I'll mention it again. So different than wives submitting to husbands and husbands loving your wives and children obeying your parents. We aren't living in such a time. About half, are doing the opposite of what Paul here exhorts. Yes, in the church as well as the world. It's awful, terrible. And what do we expect then to take place in the schools? If they would fear the cause as much as the result, then maybe something could be done. Then maybe we would pray and continue in prayer till there is a change, till there's an answer from God through the gospel, an answer from God through the reviving of the church in repentance like the Corinthians did. Read of it in 2 Corinthians chapter 7. It's there very plainly how they had a godly sorrow. They repented unto salvation that needed not to be repented of. This church at Colossae wasn't to that point, but the Corinthians had been, and there was revival. We need to see all these things in the light of each church, as Christ had a different message for the seven churches in Asia. Each one was different. It all came from the same Lord. It all came from Christ sitting in the right hand of the Father. But it was a message to the seven churches, to the angels of the churches, what they were doing, what they were like, what was their future. A warning. If they didn't repent, their future was very, very wrong, awful. I'll remove the candlestick. I'll spew you out of my mouth. Some of them had a name they lived and were dead. All in that short time from the beginning of those churches, Gentile churches, hearing the gospel, believing it, becoming a church in those Gentile cities, and then falling away, leaving their first love. How much more we have done that. How far we are from the Colossians. How far we are from everyone in the church experiencing what the Colossians did, who delivered us from the power of darkness and have translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. How many can speak of that? So many in the church. Oh, I always loved the Lord. The truth is, we didn't love the Lord. Christ had to die for us because we didn't love God or our neighbor. And then so flippantly say, oh, I always loved the Lord. The Lord loves us and still is patient with us. His mercies are new every morning. But that could change any time that we could not even preach the gospel in freedom as we're doing it now. And in blessing in nature, blessing of peace as far as our nation is concerned. And here Paul said that I make manifest as I ought to speak. Pray that we'll speak as we ought to speak, recognizing the signs of the times as well as the gospel that has not changed and will not change. That message will go to the end of repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Have you experienced both? If you haven't, pray for what the song said. There's power in the blood. That's our hope.
To God be the glory.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, visit their website at calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship, sponsored by Zion Chapel.
Praise the Lord.